Our scripture this morning. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners or cynicism is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Do not work for food that perishes, that is, expires, has a limited shelf life, short-term satisfaction, but for food that endures, sustains, nurtures, preserves life. Over and over again, it'll keep you from hunger, enough for life eternal. Jesus says this to the growing crowd that is nipping at his heels as he crisscrosses the region. The rabbi has impressed many people, and he was quickly becoming a household name, a celebrity of sorts. People wanted to be near him, to touch him. Because did you hear? This man performs miracles. He actually heals people right there on the spot. And people who have been sick for years, you have to go see this man. So many came and they followed Jesus, not as disciples, but as enthusiasts. They didn't read deeply into his parables, and his teachings were nice, but confusing or too challenging to really live in their own lives. They were far more interested in the spectacle of his miracles, but never really went much deeper than that. One day by the Sea of Galilee, as Jesus is there with his disciples, they go up this mountain, most likely to get away from everything, out of town to get some much-needed rest. But down below, that large crowd of enthusiasts spot them and quickly make their way to the famous rabbi, hoping they would witness Jesus perform yet another miracle right before their eyes. But of course, Jesus does not run away or scoff or tell them to beat it, but instead graciously wonders, how can we feed everyone who has made this long journey? Where are we to buy bread for all these people to eat? Mind you, there were 5,000 people there. So for those who went to the Lancaster Festival this week, you might know what that crowd could look like for a point of reference. It's a lot of people. And this is without the invention of a food truck. And Jesus wants to feed all of them without any condition. Because he never decides who's worthy or unworthy. All who are hungry get fed. So with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, Jesus takes the loaves, gives thanks, and gives them to all those who are seated. Again, imagine that crowd that you saw. And then Jesus does the same with the fish. Now, we really don't know how. Maybe some were inspired by Jesus' generosity and brought food to contribute, or maybe through Jesus, God really did satisfy the hunger of the crowd with such a limited menu and supply. But either way, 5,000 people all eat, and they eat until they are full. And there are 12 baskets of leftovers. There is enough for all. So the satisfied crowd, having eaten their fill, disperse. Some go home, some stay there to fellowship, but having this full belly, they lose complete track of Jesus and the disciples. They are too happy with this meal they are just given. So the next day, unbeknownst to the crowd, in the night, both Jesus and the disciples crossing the sea to Capernaum, leaving this satisfied crowd behind. However, when the crowd wakes up the next morning, they panic, wondering where Jesus has gone. They search the mountain. He isn't there. They go down to the town. Nope, He's not there yet either. So they go to the shoreline and decide perhaps he went across the sea to Capernaum. And they waste no time in crossing. They don't want to miss anything, and they certainly don't want to miss out on another meal because, quite frankly, they're getting hungry at this point. And we get a sense that they feel lost, desperate to find Jesus. They crave his presence. They desire to be with him and will stop at nothing until they find him. So they search and search in panic. They search, even braving the waters to go find him. Anyone who has ever been separated from their child, a parent, or a spouse will get a sense of what the crowd is feeling in this moment. At amusement parks, I'm both relieved and filled with some sadness when over the PA system, a child is told to go to the nearest employee because their parents are looking for them. I'm relieved because hopefully very soon they will be found. But I imagine up until that point it has been terrifying, terrifying to be lost. I imagine both the child and parent feel that same emotion, as if a piece of them was missing in that period of separation. They may have been numb to what was going on around them, mind racing with what ifs, and as if trapped in a thick fog, just kept searching, kept looking for something, for a stranger, asking them where they might be, someone to restore that piece of them that is missing. Those in the crowd are seeking Jesus in this way. They are seeking someone or something that will satisfy them, that will make them whole in a way that nothing else in life can. Around Jesus, they sense something that they want to go after, being drawn to them. I can say this with absolute certainty that we all have something within us that feels like it is missing at times. And we are all on a journey to find that which makes us whole and complete. We can all relate to the crowd of people because we are them. We often chase many different things to try to fill that hole. So we center ourselves on being the most successful or having the most power or looking the best. Or maybe we want to be the smartest, thinking if I'm the smartest, then I'll be enough. Or if everyone just likes me, that'll be enough. It never is. We chase it, though, don't we? Thomas Merton once called this self the false self, this ego self, putting ourselves in the center. And we chase it. And I am no exception. Just before he launched into space, I watched an interview of Jeff Bezos. He was curious about how space would change him. He was planning on going a little bit further than the crowd going across the Sea of Galilee, but admitted he was searching for something deeper and hoped space travel would fill it. This is someone who is considered one of the wealthiest or the wealthiest person on the planet with a net worth of $192.5 billion, still searching for something deeper and more meaningful. It is well known that the employees for the company that he had founded, Amazon, aren't satisfied with their working conditions. They have been discouraged to unionize and have a place at a table to negotiate better working conditions and wages, many of them struggling to get by on what they have. So there were certainly things for Bezos to think about as he looked down on the planet. But after his 11-minute ride, $5.5 billion, Bezos touched down and had the audacity to thank every Amazon worker, saying that they had paid for his trip. Unaware that they did not just pay with their work and time, but also with unfair wages and the stress of their working conditions, and some being exposed to COVID in other ways, and the security of their family. Space had not changed him all that much. Jesus told the crowd, "Do not work for food that perishes, but for food that endures for eternal life, space travel, wealth, power, popularity, our need to be right, is always food that perishes. It never fully satisfies us and can hurt others if we promote it to the status of God. And Jesus tells, just like Jesus tells the man to sell all of his possessions, then he can follow. Or when Jesus tells the disciples to quit their job and drop their nets, and he also tells them to accept the world as a child accept the world. Not because money or jobs or maybe reasoning or open-mindedness or closed-mindedness is a bad or sinful thing, but it is just not the source of peace or contentment. So Jesus does not chastise the crowd. He helps them to go a little deeper into the miracles that they have been witnessing. Jesus tenderly explains to them that the missing piece, the bread of life, which is much different than the bread that keeps you on the brink of survival, is what he is and offers. He first assures them that they all have access to God's pantry. In verse 33, it says, "For the bread of God which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Now that verb translated to come down, katabano, and the verb given, didos, are both active participles in the Greek, meaning that they are continued actions, that even as Jesus is speaking, bread is coming down from God, and God is continually giving that bread to the world. And that Greek word for world is cosmos, the entire world. No one is excluded from this bread of life. It is not just for the CEOs. It is not just for one religious group or another, or race, or nationality, or gender. God is baking it and giving it to all. From God, God gives continuously life to the world. Verse 48, Jesus says, "I am that bread." The ways of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, the generosity and grace, compassion, the work of communal well-being. This is the bread of life. It is the story of Moses seeking liberation for the Israelites from Egypt. It is the story of the prophets warning their own nation to turn from ways of greed and power towards a way of caring for the orphan and the widow. It is today when anyone works to better their neighbor's lives or seeks to change systems that create inequality. Continuously given, God provides us with the Word made flesh, made manifest among us and with us. And the incarnation of Christ teaches us how to be human, just like Jesus, a way of living life with meaning and purpose and wholeness. That is the bread that will never perish. It is always enough. Like the crowd, we chase things that will never truly fill us. We realize we are what we eat. We are the bread of life, the body of Christ, the spirit of love and compassion united with God's purpose. And so I want to end with a poem from Simeon the New Theologian, who lived around 949 AD to 1022. When he came to realize that, yes, he was filled with the bread of life. Listen to these words. "We awaken in Christ's body as Christ awakens our bodies. In my poor hand is Christ. He enters my foot and is infinitely me. I move my hand and wonderfully my hand becomes Christ, becomes all of him, for God is indivisibly whole, seamless in his godhood. I move my foot. At once he appears like a flash of lightning. Do my words seem blasphemous? Then open your ear to him and let yourself receive the one who is opening to you so deeply. For if we genuinely love God, we wake up inside Christ's body. where all our body, all over it, every most hidden part of it, is realized in joy of God. And God makes us utterly real. And everything that is hurt, everything that seemed to us dark, harsh, shameful, maimed, ugly, irreparably damaged, is in him transformed and recognized as whole, as lovely, and radiant in his light. We awaken as the beloved in every last part of our body. When we eat the bread of life, we are made one with God. So eat the bread. Let go of chasing things that won't fill you up. Eat the bread of life and be filled with passion to serve neighbor and God. Eat the bread of life and find true rest on your journey. For no matter what you are going through, God will provide enough. Thanks be to God. Amen.